Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Wisdom Walk here on Black Hole Radio. I am your host and guide, Jojoba Maria Nsoroma, and happy to be back doing a live broadcast with you this evening. I have been doing a little bit more traveling this month, last month in August. Can you believe it? We're in September already. And so I wasn't able to do the fourth and final part of my theme for August, which was about living to change, changing to live. So I'm going to do that tonight. And then next week I'll begin my theme for September. So as you know, if you've been listening in, the month of August is a nature month. And we came through three powerful eclipses. And so everything is changing and everything has changed. So tonight I want to give you some wisdom and insights on the journey of change. And I'll explain to you more of what I mean by that. Now, for those of you who may be listening in for the first time, let me give you a brief overview of Wisdom Walk. This is a personal development resource for your mind, body, and soul. My ministry is any pain that is not transformed will be transferred. So the essential goal of my shows is to support listeners with learning how to recognize and release any pain that may be blocking your fulfillment in life, or what I like to call having your happy endings in life. Every Sunday night at 8 p.m. Eastern and 5 p.m. Pacific time, I broadcast live unless I'm on hiatus or traveling like I was last week. And in addition to listening through your computer or other gadgets that access the internet, you can listen to this live broadcast or call into the show at area code 563-999-3089. Again, that's 563-999-3089. Also, the web link provided on my Facebook page, Wisdom Walk Radio, you may also see it posted on Black Hole Radio's Facebook page, or you may receive it in a constant contact email I send out every week. That link to the show also becomes the archive link. So if for some reason you're unable to listen to the show in its entirety, you can listen later or share the link with a friend or family member who may be in need of some of this Wisdom Walk wisdom. So right now, I invite you to sit or lay back and join me for an exploration of the inner landscape where we can connect to your soul and discover the true treasure of being human. Every week, I always open up my show with honoring the ancestors, and tonight I want to focus on those stoic ancestors. You know, there was just the funeral of John McCain. And, you know, like most people, he's got controversy around, you know, was he a hero? Was he not a hero? What was going on when he was with the Keating Five? And how could he have these kind of, make these kind of decisions in Congress? You know, all of this stuff going on. But, you know, at the end of the day, because I did get to watch a little bit of the funeral, at the end of the day, what an incredible gift he gave to the world by having a bipartisan experience in his funeral that was very loving, you know. It's like, what needs to be going on in Congress? He actually had it happening at his funeral, and that was very, very much needed, very much needed. And so there's a lot of stoicism in that. You know, people who are stoic kind of are able, you know, even beyond the grave, to hold something in place, to hold something in place. So think about those ancestors that you know of. And again, they don't have to be blood related. They could be people that you admire from history. But think about the people who were able to hold something in place and may still be doing that, even though they've gone over into the land of the ancestors. So take in a few deep breaths and close your eyes and think about those stoic ancestors able to hold things in place for you, for your family, for your community, so that you could do what you need to do, that you can be who you really need to be. Think about those ancestors. I'm thinking about my kindergarten teacher. She was amazing, absolutely amazing. And so say their names out loud and thank them for what they did by holding space, by holding space. Ancestors, 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 those of you who were able to demonstrate stoicism, who were able to hold in place the ideas the beliefs, the homes, the communities, the friendships, the work, the services, the understanding of what it means to be human, to be loving, to do the right thing. Thank you, thank you, thank you. We're calling out to you and we're asking you to work with us so that we too can be stoic, that we answer the call in our own lives for where it is that we need to hold something in place, and guide us as you can so well, to have the courage, the strength, the patient endurance, the perseverance, and mostly the faith to hold in place that which is required so that we can have our happy endings and get that fulfillment in life. And so, Creator, Mother, Father, God, Source, Love, and all that is, I thank you, I thank you, I thank you for this wonderful, wonderful gift of your emissaries, the ancestors. And I ask you for their continued loving, stoic support in the name of all that is holy. And I say, Amen, Ashe, Aho, Asash, and Gopisimah. So it is. So it is. Yes. So, just on a final note, there was another prominent funeral that happened on Friday, which was the funeral of Aretha Franklin, and a testament to her life and her work, her contribution through music. The Buckingham Palace guard and band, their marching band, played Respect on Friday in honor of her funeral, in honor of her passing. So I thought that was really interesting and cool. All right, let me talk some elemental wisdom here for you for tomorrow, Monday the 3rd, which is Labor Day. And we are actually stepping into a nature week. A nature week, can you imagine, right here in September. September, by the way, is a mineral month. And, of course, I'll tell you more about that next week. But the opportunity with the element of nature for this week is about flexibility so that we can go along with the changes that are going to continue to manifest this week, you know, from what's been going on for the last 2 months. So be flexible. Trust the process. Surrender your attachment to your plan. When we make up what we think is the best way for our dreams to come true, we are sure to be disappointed. Trust that the universe, with its unknowable ability to make things happen in the right way and at the right time, is more powerful than your brain or that of any other human. Want it to be right for you more than just wanting it. Let go of trying to figure it all out. Do what is right in front of you to do at the present time, and know that more will be revealed. Connect with the beauty, magic, and trickster energy of the nature element, whether that is in the form of plant, trees, flowers, animals, or humans, and accept their help to get you to accept the greater order and direction that you are being asked to experience. So here are some distractions to that ability to be flexible, to be open, to be vulnerable, you know, basically. And that is, the first one is being arrogant and or stubborn. You know, that's a very fear-based posture. Arrogance is that knowing, thinking you know, needing to know, trying to know, you know. That's just coming from fear. So don't fall into that. Let that go. Attempting to change a no into a yes. Not a good use of your time and energy, trust me. Perceiving things as win-lose. Not okay. It's not going to help you be flexible. Despairing, which is making up the ending, and the ending is bad. And trying to go back to the place that you know best, also trying to squeeze back through the hole. I've done that many times. It doesn't work. Not a good use of your time. And last but not least, beating yourself up for the situation and or outcomes that you have no control over. Don't waste your time beating yourself up. Let it go and open yourself up to what is true and right for you at this time in your journey. Now, next week, next Monday, September the 10th, we'll begin an Earth Week. And, of course, I will tell you all about it in the next broadcast. Now, astrologically, we're in a good place right now. Again, we've come out of a full moon in Pisces last week, which just brought some more of that energy of, you know, things kind of coming to conclusions, just more of being conscious of the turning point that we're all in. So we get a little bit of a break this week. We do have a new moon coming up, but for right now, astrologically, we can kind of, you know, just relax. I told you about Mars going direct, and so in that, you know, things are now going to break open. Like if you've been waiting for something for a bit, if you've been waiting for the shoe to drop, if you're waiting for the signal of go, you know, you had the ready and the set, but you've just been waiting for the go, Mars going forward, you will experience that now. Also, if you haven't been able to see in the night sky, Mars is close to Earth right now, very close. So you will see this red planet, a long tail. It will almost look like a UFO because we're not used to seeing stars with long tails. But you'll see this red star, this long tail in the sky, and that is Mars. And so this Martian energy for moving things forward is, you know, physically, literally, very much in our lives right now. So if you're still feeling like you're stuck, it's an illusion. You're not stuck. You just haven't caught up. Your consciousness hasn't caught up to how the universe works and what's really going on right now, because we are all truly being moved ahead on the chessboard of life. So tonight, I am going to first do a quick review of the previous three broadcasts about change, which was welcoming change, changing up your mind, and creating change. And then I'll go into talking about the journey of change and the stages that incorporates. And I'll give you some personal storytelling. And then also I'll give you a personal challenge. Quote for tonight's broadcast was, again, taken from the book I've been using all month, Dr. Joe Dispenza's Breaking the Habit of Being Yourself. And Joe says, we can learn and change in a state of pain and suffering, or we can evolve to a state of joy and inspiration. Most people embrace the former. To go with the latter, we just have to make up our mind that change will probably entail a bit of discomfort, some inconvenience, a break from a predictable routine, and a period of not knowing. Exactly what I am going to be talking about tonight. So previously, talking about change, changing to live and living to change, the importance of change in our lives, and in the period that we're in right now as human beings, change is our new norm. It's our new norm. Now, you know, less than a century ago, this would not have been the case. Less than a century ago, it was about locking things down, holding things in place, but not in a way that was creative, that was going to help things grow. It was more of, no, that change isn't good, can't be. Of course, none of that worked because we had the 60s, right, and everything got blown up. But then there's always seems to be this trying to move back into, no, we don't want change. But the reality is that we are now coming to a place in human consciousness where we have to break out of this belief in struggling and suffering in order to be alive. We have to move into the philosophy of the age of Aquarius, which is that we are here to thrive and to be on purpose and to experience fulfillment in life. And boy, does our planet need us to be in that conscious. Now, we resist change because we are human. We attach to things. That's how we come out of our mother's body. You know, we're attached. And so the fear of not being attached, the fear of loss, you know, it's just a human condition that we struggle with. But as we grow our consciousness, we can understand that, you know, we couldn't stay attached to our mothers physically if we're going to be on purpose in this world. We have to go through a separating and a detachment so that we're free to move about in the way we need to, and to honor our individual gifts and talents. So getting into change really requires our ability to choose it, you know, to choose it. We have to choose the change. Clearly, there are emotional blocks that would stop us from choosing it, like avoidance. You know, we want to avoid change. We'll talk ourselves out of it. But that doesn't make it go away. We can be very attached to our past, you know, with limiting beliefs versus curiosity about life. You know, we can just be living in this fear. Self-sabotage, you know, that will pop up every time you cast your stone out for something more in life. There's going to be a part of you that is like, oh, no, don't do it. Don't go there. But the cosmic law of change, which includes healing, growth, and evolution, is that there is no going back. So you might as well go forward, you know. Your body isn't going to ever go back to the size of an infant. It's just never going to do that. So we're here to grow and evolve. We're here to be here for a reason. And to do that, you got to change. You have to change. It's got to become our norm. I gave a personal challenge that first broadcast where I asked you to do at least three new things for yourself, and that included meeting new people, going to a new place, reading a new book, seeing a new film. It didn't matter as long as it was something that you hadn't experienced before. And the idea behind this exercise was to prove to yourself that you can consciously choose change. You don't have to be blindsided by it. You can actually work with the universe to allow the change to come into your life. And so when you take on consciously doing something new, you signal the universe that, yeah, I'm ready for that. I'm ready for that. And so in the second broadcast, I talked about changing up your mind, meaning going into your higher mind to get through life. And that it's about you're willing and ready to upgrade your life. You're willing and ready to evolve a belief system. You choose to create change versus change happening to you. You want something different. You want something more. You want something better. And the way you do it is that you evoke thoughts and feelings to support the change, just like, again, going out and meeting somebody new or doing something new. Now, there are three good reasons why you really need to change up your mind. When these three things are going on, this is a message This needs to be a reminder that, oh, it's time to change up my mind. One is if you're perpetually in fear and anxiety, because staying in this state only makes you more likely to transfer versus transform your pain. And staying in a state of fear and anxiety can result in a chronic or life-threatening disease. This is now scientifically proven. But more importantly than that, if you stay in a state of fear and anxiety, you really are shut down to receiving your blessings, your goodwill, you know, the things that are going to really help you get to your happy endings, because you're not connected to your higher self when you're in fear and anxiety. And you got to be connected to that higher self. You got to change that mind up if you're going to move out of places, situations, relationships, jobs that really don't serve you, that you're really not happy with. Another situation, condition that tells you you've got to change up your mind is that you're in debt that you can't manage. If you're in debt that you can't manage, you got to change something up. Again, all wealthy people have debt, but they manage it. And so debt isn't, it's not a bad thing to have debt. What's bad is when you can't manage it. And a quote I got that I used is this guy that wrote that we need to stop buying things we don't need with money we don't have to impress people we don't know. I just love that. And it's so important. So what it's basically saying is don't think that you're supposed to live your life in debt. Open up to learning how to manage your debt. What is it that needs to happen? And then the third reason why you want to change up your mind is when you're in an unhappy, unfulfilling relationship or job, because staying in either of these situations will create a silent stress that could physically damage your heart. Again, scientific proof on this stuff. This is a symptom of not valuing yourself, not believing you're worthy of your best yet to come, your happy endings. So you've got to change your mind up to believe that, yeah, wait a minute, I don't have to stay in this. I can. There's something better for me, you know. When something's not working for you, that means there's something else waiting for you, something better. I also talked about the big blocks to changing up your mind, and that is you're unable or unwilling, or you just don't know how to access your higher self. You don't know how to change up your mind, or you're stuck in or addicted to victim consciousness, that belief that the world is out to get you, and you feel safe because you can play victim. Yeah, that's a big block. And then also, you could be unconsciously stuck in your control drama. For you, any change means losing control. And, you know, control can be feeling superior to a dysfunctional partner or a boss, you know, or a situation that's out of control. But it's also believing that there isn't any more for you. You know, it's control traumas are limiting beliefs, and they keep you stuck in a reality isn't going to keep you well or happy or growing. So moving out of those control dramas is really essential to changing up your mind and being going along with change rather than resisting it. Now, the personal challenge I gave at the end of that second broadcast was I asked you, what are three things that you can do to access your higher self? Is it meditation, prayer, conversing with someone you trust or who trusts you? I asked how stuck you were in victim consciousness, to be conscious of that. I asked, who are the villains in your life? Because if you've got a villain in your life, that means you're a victim. And I asked the only thing that you can control is yourself. So how is that working for you? Meaning, are you putting enough attention on yourself or are you trying to control other people? And I asked, in what ways are you valuing yourself, and who in your life values you? It's good stuff. Now, for the third broadcast, we stepped into creating change, and I wanted to do this from a place of looking at both the science as well as the spiritual awareness around creating change. And so in regards to the science of creating change, I talked about quantum and theoretical physics, which requires focusing our attention. That's basically what these two sciences have come to teach us about how we manifest things. I talked about how Einstein said everything is energy and that's all there is to it. Match the frequency of the reality you want and you cannot help but get that reality. It can be no other way. This is not philosophy, he said. This is physics. And so basically, this is about how we can put our focus on what it is that we want, and it will come into being. But again, if we're blocked with self-doubt, with fear in all of its forms, our control drama, whatever, then we're going to really inhibit the thing we want from manifesting. Now, sometimes there's something we want to manifest, but it's really not for us. But, you know, the universe is very generous because it'll let you have it so that you can learn it really ain't for you. So, you know, we really have this power to manifest things out of a void, out of a nothingness. I talked about Deepak Chopra and his wonderful, wonderful work called Creating Affluence, where he says, all of material creation is structured out of information and energy. All quantum events are basically fluctuations of energy and information. And quantum events are things that are so small we can't see them with the naked eye. We know they exist because science can see the trails of particles that they leave behind. So when we're saying quantum events, when we're talking about quantum events, we're talking about the very, very minute, practically invisible bits of energy that begin to form when you wish upon a star, when you set an intention, okay? And so Deepak's saying that all these events are basically fluctuations of energy and information. And these impulses of energy and information are basically the non-stuff that makes up everything we consider stuff or matter. For what else is a thought but an impulse of energy and matter? So we are very powerful in this ability from a scientific standpoint about how we can create change. Now, on a spiritual level, I talked about the asking, the thanking, and the focus attention that goes into manifestation so that you can really bring to you what is right. Because like I said, the universe is very generous. It'll let you bring stuff into your life. But as you get older and wiser, you realize, wait a minute, I want what's really right. And so that always starts with a prayer and an asking. And, you know, you get to a point as an adult, or at least I know I have, where I've stopped being for specific details of what I want. And I focus more about let it be what's right for me at this time in my life. So if I need a place to live, if I need transportation, I don't make it up anymore. I just say, what's the best way for this to show up for me? That's what I want. And I ask and I say thank you, because when you say thank you, that's you believing that you really, really can have it. I also talked about and this was the piece I thought was pretty important, is that when you're manifesting, the state of mind that you are in is very important, because if you create out of fear, your results will bring you fear. But if you create out of love, then the results will bring you love. And so being able to really get clear with yourself before you set an intention, before you wish upon a star, in terms of how are you feeling? You know, are you wishing for this out of fear? Are you motivated by fear? Or are you motivated by love? Love feels good. Fear feels not good. There's tightness in our body when we're in fear. So you can start from that point where you just feel, you know, am I afraid if I'm doing this? And if you are afraid, don't do it. Wait until you're really relaxed and you're really able to believe that you are worthy of what it is that you are requesting from God and the universe. Yes, yes, yes. So, we now get to talking about this journey of change. The journey of change. I really think it's important to think about change of your journey through life. And so that change is a journey. And the reason I think we need to do this is, number one, it will bring you more conscious about the change that is happening. Because, you know, a lot of times change seems to creep up on us. It's like all of a sudden we're like, oh my God, this, how did I lose this job? Or how did I lose this home? Or how did I get sick? You know, it's like it'll creep up on us. And so we can become more conscious about the change that's moving into our lives. And why this is important is because if it creeps up on you, it surprises you, you're most than likely going to be traumatized. And you definitely don't want to stay in that position when it comes to change, because then your experience of change can be excruciating, because you'll be in resistance. You know, you'll go on the defensive. You'll be in reaction. So by thinking of change as a journey, as something that has a beginning, a middle, and an end, and at the end is where you will have evolved beyond what you were and what you knew before. In other words, you're going to be better. You're going to be better as a result of this journey of change. Because this is how the universe works. The universe is all about evolution, you know. And part of that process means some things have to be let go of. Some things may have to die. Some things may have to be put aside. Some things may have to be forgotten. And it's all so that you can become the best version of yourself, that you can become something more than you could even dream about, possibly dream about. Or you may have felt it, or you may have seen it in a movie. You may have seen a character you identify with, you know, but you're like, no, I could never, that could never be me. But you don't know that. It could, through change process, it totally could. So, consciously thinking about change as a journey, as a process that you will go through to get to the more that you are, the best part of who you are. That is comforting. There's comfort in that because, you know, change is just, it's just hard. It's just hard. So let me talk about the stages of change. But, and in doing this, it's so that you can have a consciousness about it and you don't stay in that victim consciousness, that victim mode, that you're feeling like somebody or something, the world is out to get you. You want to begin to immediately start looking for the gifts that the change is bringing. And you can do that right from the beginning. You don't have to wait till the end. You can start in the beginning and just opening to that. So here's the stages. In the beginning with change, you're going to be in some discomfort and you're going to be inconvenienced. And you know, these are two things that we work very hard every day to avoid. We want to avoid discomfort and inconvenience. We work very hard at that. But when change comes, you're going to be experiencing that, discomfort and inconvenience. In the middle part of the journey, you're going to get disrupted from your regular routine or predictable routine, for what you know or what you have known. And you're going to be taken into a void. That is a place of not knowing. You're going to be like, I just don't know. I don't know. Yeah. Yes, yes, yes. So this phase is probably the hardest part of the change journey. And if you think of the journey as a curve, where you start at the top and then you go down, this is when you hit bottom. This is when you're like, oh, my God, I don't want to be here. I don't want to do this, you know. But as soon as you hit bottom, you start coming out of it. You start coming up and out. Because once you say, I don't know, then the universe begins working to help you to have clarity. It doesn't want you to stay confused. It wants you to have clarity. So you begin to, you know, learn what the change is really about. And so the end of the journey is where you're in a totally new position, a totally new place. It could actually be a physical move. You may look different. You may sound different. You will definitely feel different because you will have been stretched and grown as a process of change, by the process of change. So, beginning, discomfort and inconvenience. The middle, disruption of predictable daily routine and what you've been doing and having to step into the void, the unknown phase. And then in the end, you will be evolved. You will be better. You will be more than what you were before. And it could be on every level, physically, emotionally, spiritually, intellectually, creatively, all of that, all of that. So let me give you some examples, some personal examples. Today I was very, very blessed to have met with a woman who, in the process of healing from cancer, and she had heard about me through my friend and wanted to meet me and to receive whatever healing I could have for her. And we had just a really, really powerful, deep, and delightful time as I listened to her story of, you know, again, change coming upon her very, very surprisingly. One day she's working, she's fine. The next day she's in the hospital, unable to breathe. And in her journey, she decides that she's not going to do surgery, that she'll do chemo, but she wants to take on and do some alternative methods to help fight this cancer, including eliminating emotional blocks. And so she becomes clear that the work she was doing, she can no longer do. She understands that it did contribute to her cancer, it's unhealthy for her. And at this stage that she's in, as she was talking with me, she's in a middle stage because she said to me, I don't know what I'm going to do. I asked her, what was the hardest part of her journey so far? What was the hardest thing about her cancer? And she replied, choosing to stay alive. She said that was the hardest thing because she was in so much discomfort. She'd been so inconvenienced by this illness, being in the hospital, you know, not able to work, being afraid, you know, being in pain. And so she really, really found it, you know, just really hard to choose to live. And she said she had an experience where she went unconscious. And in that zone, she had an experience of wanting to get over to the other side of crossing over. But she wasn't able to do it. It was, the way was blocked. And she was basically told that she had to come back because there was more for her to do. So she was in this phase of, what is, I don't know, what is it that I'm supposed to do? And so we began to talk about that. We began to talk about purpose. And I shared with her my medicine wheel teachings to give her the elemental essence that she was born through and what it is that she is inherently genius at. And she was able to, yeah, resonate with that. That made sense to her. And as we continued talking, she talked about a book project that she was connected to. And as she's telling me the story of this book that she wants to write, you know, she had tears in her eyes. I had tears in my eyes because it was just so powerful. It's so big. And I said to her, you know, this is a really good thing to come back here to do. This is really pretty big. This is not a little thing. This is a big thing. And I said to her, and your decks have been cleared so that you can put your time and energy into this book project. So she went away saying that, you know, she had, I'd given her a lot to think about, a lot to think about. But clearly she's entering into the end phase of her change journey because based on what she told me in terms of where she was before, what she was doing, how she was doing it, she is so in a new position, and the more of who she is shining through. She did not look like a person who had the type of cancer that she had. She looked healthy and vibrant, healthy and vibrant. So that's just one example of the change journey and how it can affect us. I've had several change journeys, but probably one of the biggest ones for me, the one that crept up on me. Now, you know, I shouldn't say that because I did know that there was change coming. I was told 2 years before. I just couldn't figure out why it needed to change, and so I was ignoring it. So when it happened, which is I had the rug, financial rug pulled out from under me and the home that I was living in, I had to leave. And I had to get back on the road as a nomad. And I can't tell you how angry I was because you talk about discomfort and inconvenience. Yeah, big time. So the beginning of that journey, this was back in 2014, it was just excruciating. Because I just was like, really, God? Really? Really? You know, I was just so upset. But when I got to the middle of the disruption of my predictable routine,
Like, how am I going to do the work I do if I don't have a home to do it in? How can I work with people? You know, I had all these, making up all these excuses for why I needed to do what I was doing or how I needed to do it. I then had to step into this void. I had to step into, I don't know. And I can remember that I'd gotten to New York, where my family is, in smack dab in the middle of winter. And it was cold. I mean, it was like really cold. Cold for New York, too. They had some sub-zero weather going on. And I was just miserable. I was miserable. I felt ashamed. I felt defeated. You know, I was just total victim to my circumstance. I was not experiencing change as a journey. I was just really pissed and upset, and I felt adrift. But thank goodness I had enough of a consciousness that I realized, okay, this is happening for a reason. There's treasure in this, and you need to open up to it, Jojoba. And so I got still, and I thought about what it is I needed immediately in order to connect with my higher self. And I said, I really need to be in a warmer climate. And I remembered that I had three friends in Arizona. And so I said, okay, I need to get to Arizona. Now, my money was really tight. I didn't have enough for an airplane ticket. But I knew someone that would be willing to help me, and sure enough, they did. And they get me an airplane ticket, and I got on a plane, and I landed in Phoenix, Arizona. And the first morning that I woke up on my friend's sofa, and of course, I complained about that to myself, like, oh, God, I don't even have a bed to sleep in. I'm on a sofa at this age and with high blood pressure. Oh, my God, you know, I was just fussing. But that morning, I woke up, I felt something on my cheek, and I opened my eyes to see the most beautiful clear blue sky and palm trees waving. And I realized that what I was feeling on my cheek was the sun. And I started to cry because I realized that the universe, that God had brought me to a healing place where I could get some sun and I could really get a really, really good place. And that's exactly what happened. But most importantly, what Spirit had done was cleared my decks so that I could have the time and the energy and the support to write my book. And that's what happened. And I don't know if I could have done it in my regular routine, my predictable routine. I really had to have that disrupted so that I could write that book. And I just finished the book on July 10th, and God willing, it will be in print by the end of the year. And, of course, I will be telling you all about that as it comes more into being. So I totally am in a new position, a new place. I totally feel like I am so much more in the truth of who I am than I was 4 years ago when that change process began. And what I've learned through the process is to really, really trust, to get to that unknown place quicker rather than later, to really step into the void consciously, to just stop and say, you know what, I don't know. I don't know how this is supposed to happen. I don't know what's next. I just don't know. And open up to learning. And so many gifts, so many resources, so much of a financial flow even has shown up for me in ways that I could never have imagined. And, seeing change as a journey to the who you really are, is very, very important. So change is our new norm, and we definitely are changing to live and living to change. That's what we have to do so that, again, we can get out of this mindset and this old paradigm about life is about struggling and suffering, and it's only until you die that you get any relief. You know, that doesn't make any sense. Why would all of us as humans be here on this beautiful, beautiful planet that we really don't take care of? We really take it for granted. If we could all just really appreciate the beauty of the planet we live on, we can understand that we're here for something more. We're not here to suffer and die. There's something more. So I hope that these four broadcasts on living to change, changing to live, can be of help to you as you are experiencing the change that is so prominent in all of our lives, and to not think it's come to defeat you, but it's come to rise you up into the truth, into the best version of who you really are. I want to close out now by thanking my engineer for tonight, someone else who has been on a very powerful change journey, and that's Brother Forrest, the president of Black Hole Radio. It's always a pleasure to have him engineer for me, and he told me that he was having a little bit of challenge today with his health, but I told him that's okay, just being told to slow down and take a little break, you know, everything's in order, and just to have that patience and faith. So I'm really honored that he could find some energy to engineer for me tonight. I'm so grateful to him and the entire Black Hole Be Well Radio family. I also want to shout out to all my regular listeners out there, especially Ms. Sarah, who so beautifully demonstrates every day of her life that as long as you're alive, you will change. You will grow. You don't get out of it just because you're in your 90s. She is an amazing human being. I love her dearly. To all of those who have wisdom walk with me, and you know who you are, my family, spiritual kin, my transformational leadership colleagues, my medicine brothers and sisters, right here in Wisconsin and around the world, and those who are listening in for the first time, thank you, thank you, thank you. I couldn't do this without your listenership. Next week, I begin my September theme. We're going to talk about honoring your genius. Check out my Facebook page, Wisdom Walk Radio. And last but not least, I want to thank my God, my ancestors, my spirit guides and loving entities, everything that walks with me, keeps my head to the sky, my feet to the ground, and my heart open to do this important work with and for all of you. Have a fabulous Nature Week of Change. Be on the journey, and remember, you are not disposable. You are divine. Good night now.